Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 15 called The Rejection and Revenge of Samson.
You can see that Samson is a type of Jesus in this sense, that Judah, sadly, rejects Samson. They know Samson has power. They know he has authority. They know supernaturally God is upon his life. They probably know about the Nazarite vow. Why didn't they get behind him right now? When Jesus came to his own, and he was showing all this supernatural power and strength and miracles, why didn't the people get behind him? Ultimately, you know what they did? They bound him and turned him over to the Romans to be crucified. Now, not everybody wanted that, but you know what I'm saying. I want you to hold your place in Judges. We'll turn to one more major passage as a cross-reference. It's in the book of Acts. Hold your place in Judges. Turn to the book of Acts. We're in chapter 7, Stephen's famous sermon before he is martyred, speaking to the religious leadership of the day. He's talking about Moses, Acts 7:25. He, Moses, supposed, Acts 7:25, that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand, Acts 7:26. On the following day, he appeared to them as they were fighting together, and he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, "Men, you are brethren, why do you injure one another?" Acts 7:27. But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" Drop down to Acts 7:35. This Moses whom they disowned, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge?" is the one whom God sent to be both ruler and deliverer with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. Acts 7:36. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, "God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren." This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai and who was with our fathers and received living oracles to pass on to you. And our fathers, Acts 7:39, were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him, pushed him away. And in their hearts, what did they do? They turned back to Egypt. Turn back to the book of Judges, if you will. The tribe of Judah, much like the people did with Moses, and of course what they did, Stephen is ultimately going to lead to Jesus, rejected the one who was their Savior. In John 19, Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" Verse 15, they said, "We have no king but Caesar," John 19:15. And so the people of Judah, 3,000 men, come to the cleft of the rock, Judges 19:12, and they said to Samson, "We've come down to bind you." They're not hiding what they're going to do. "So that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me." Now the people of Judah, with these 3,000 men that could have fought and had his back, say, "We're going to tie you up and we're going to hand you over to the Philistines." Eerily similar to what happened to Jesus as he was bound and brought to Caiaphas, etc. And Samson says, "Okay, I'll let you bind me, only one condition: you can't kill me." Now, y'all know what Samson's thinking, right? Samson's thinking, if they don't kill me, I know God's supernatural strength's coming, and I don't care what kind of ropes they have, right? So they bind Samson and they walk him off. And the word "bind" here is can refer to a vow or an oath as well. Samson was already bound with his Nazarite vow. God had promised to use him. So they said to him, 13, "No, but we will bind you. We won't kill you, but we'll bind you fast. We're going to tie you up tight, man. Make sure everything's good and give you into their hands. Yet surely we will not kill you." Then they bound him with two new ropes. "Hey, anybody got a new rope in your truck? Yeah. Got some. Two new ropes. And they brought him up from the rock. Behold the man. Bum, 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 bum. There he is. You know, do you remember the great scene in Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments? When Moses is brought in, he's been discovered to be the deliverer. Moses. And then they say, no longer will the name of Moses be spoken. And he's in shackles. That's kind of what comes to mind here. So, Jesus was delivered up, Acts 2, 23 and 24, by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Peter says, you nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men, put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an agony to death, to the agony of death, putting an end to it. Since it was impossible for him to be, remember, held by its power. Death could not hold him. The ropes weren't going to hold Samson. And when they came to Lehi, where the army of the Philistines had spread out, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and they were whooping it up. There he is! There's Samson! Yeah! We got him! Woo! Party time! All my brothers and sisters with me. We got him! We got him now! I was thinking about We Are Family. Sorry, I missed the first part of the line. We are Philistines. Sorry. So they see this perpetrator of evil always destroying their people and their stuff. Oh, we got him now. But Samson had the key to the handcuffs, right? So as he's coming out, and they think they're going to make sport of him, and sadly they will in the next chapter. The Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. They saw Samson, saw him bound. They were excited, but those ropes were like little old thread on Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes dropped. And Samson found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Now that is a weapon. Shamgar, I think it was Shamgar earlier, used the an ox goad. You can write down 331 and killed 600 men. And Samson took the fresh jawbone, so he's touched another dead body, breaking his vow. A fresh jawbone of a donkey. He reached out, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Bonds drop, there's a dead donkey lying there. I don't know why it's there. But anyway, he takes the jawbone and he just starts thrashing people. And can you imagine you kill a thousand men with this makeshift weapon? I mean, that can only be the Spirit of the Lord. But we know that the Spirit of the Lord, when he's there, he can do anything. He spoke the universe into existence, right? This is all supernatural. That's why we got to understand it's a supernatural move of God. How quickly he did it, how effectively were his fighting skills, I don't know all those answers, but there was a lot of damage, a lot of blood, a lot of dead bodies, probably a lot of groaning. And Samson seemed to be unstoppable and unkillable. And Samson, after he did his damage, he became a poet. He said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men. Samson's words are poetry. They probably reflect the heaps of bodies of the Philistines laying on the battlefield. There is a word play in the Hebrew on the word donkey. And so you know that there's an old way to say donkey with the word ass. And so one writer says, with the jaw of an ass, mass upon mass. The Philistines are now Samson's beasts of burden. Another way to say it is, I've made donkeys out of them. The language in Exodus 8:14 is, so they piled them, the dead frogs, in heaps. and the land became foul. So Samson kills them all, and then he kind of coins this song, and there's all these dead bodies there. And it came about when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named that place Ramoth Lehi, which means Jawbone Hill. Don't you love it? Oh, there's a visitor center there now. You get greeted by a donkey. Jawbone Hill. Yeah. Almost sounds like it could be a movie. You know, the book of Judges would make an incredible movie, wouldn't it? Jawbone Hill. Samson's like, thousand Philistines dead. He names the hill. He's a warrior. He's a poet. And he became very thirsty. 18. And he called to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. Now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?"
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey there. Are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
"Now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Samson, you know, you'd like to think the guy was a little bit more reverent, right? You just killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. You'd think that he might say, "Oh, Lord, thank you for the victory. I am a little thirsty now," which tells you he had to also work hard. The Spirit came upon him, but he still had to use human resources. And We've got to remember that even when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, it doesn't mean we're not going to be tired. It doesn't mean we won't have to work. We'll be empowered by the Spirit, but we're going to still have to give some human effort. And he was, obviously, after all that battling, I don't know how long it took, he was thirsty. He called to the Lord, which is good. By the way, there's only 2 recorded prayers of Samson in the 3 chapters about him. Here, and in chapter 16, when he asked the Lord for one more feat of strength to push down the Philistine temple. That's the only time he ever prays. I don't know if he was a man of prayer or not, but he called to the Lord, "Thou hast given the great deliverance." We have to say, give him credit. He knew God had done it. "You gave me great deliverance by the hand of your servant. Now shall I die of thirst." You know, it almost sounds like the children of Israel in the desert. "Did you bring us out here to die of thirst?" And the Lord is gracious. God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. And when he drank, his strength returned and he revived. God doesn't say to him, "Hey, get a little bit more reverent, will you, Samson?" He just hears his cry, provides the water, because God's not done with him. And he revived, and the end of 19 says, "Therefore he named it En-Hakkor." That would be the spring of the one who cried out, or others have called it Wailer's Well, which is in Lehi to this day, says the writer. Psalm 78:15 says, "God split the rocks in the wilderness, gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert." Psalm 78:15-17. But the Lord was gracious despite Samson's double-mindedness at times, right? And isn't he gracious to us when we call upon him. Maybe you're having a great week spiritually, maybe not so great a week, and you say, oh, Lord, would you provide? And he just provides for us, right? He meets our thirsty soul. Even if you walked in here tonight and you're all discombobulated, he knows how to drink. He knows how to give you a drink for your soul. So Samson names that place too. He celebrates Jawbone Hill, Wailer's Well. And so he judges Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. That sounds like a final verse about his life, but there's one more chapter to come. And Samson's life will end tragically. So I hope you'll come back for next week. But he judged Israel 20 years, which is half a generation. Do you think that Samson could have had a different life? Do you think he might have had more time had he been a little bit more wise? Hard to know in God's providence, right, how all that works out. But he made some poor decisions. He made some good decisions. But ultimately, God was with him. I'm going to take you to one final passage and we're done. It's Isaiah 53. And I want to show you Jesus as we end here, thinking about the shadow that is cast by Samson. I've got the ESV of Isaiah 53 and putting together the rejection and revenge of Samson. I want to take us to Jesus. And as you turn to Isaiah 53, I just want to say to you that, you know, Jesus was rejected by his people, but he was received by many. There was a rejection of the Messiah, and there will be a revenge of the Messiah. Now, in 70 AD, Jesus, through the Roman armies, destroyed Jerusalem, and he prophesied that that's what he was going to do in many places. Here's one example. In a parable in Matthew 22, he says, a wedding invitation went out, but the people seized some of the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent armies, and I believe that's the Roman armies, destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Matthew 22, 6 and 7. Now here's the poignant words from Isaiah 53. He, Messiah, was despised, Isaiah 53, 3, and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him, Messiah Jesus, the iniquity of us all. In Isaiah 63, he's pictured as coming back in wrath, and his clothing is spattered with blood, and he will have his day of vengeance. So Samson does paint that picture or cast that shadow. Rejection, but ultimately in the day of the Lord, the ultimate day of the Lord, there will be revenge. He came the first time as a lamb. He's coming the second time, if you will, as a lion. Would you bow your heart with me?
You've been listening to The Rejection and Revenge of Samson, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. That was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 15. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lanz. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, as we learn about Samson doing what he did with the jawbone of a donkey and the death all around him, heaps upon heaps. You know, he killed 1,000 men, it says in verse 16, chapter 15. You can see the bodies everywhere, the revenge of Samson, you know, a dish best served cold, as somebody has put it, right? Sometimes revenge sounds really good until you look at the corpses in quotes around you. And it's not as sweet as you thought it might be. And, you know, today I look at our world and social media. My wife was telling me, you know, she was looking at a recipe on her phone and people were bagging on this person because they added something to the recipe that they don't remember belongs in the recipe. And they're just running this person down on social media. And she said to me, man, people can be so nasty and cold. And I'm like, yeah, on a recipe for, I think it was soup, you know? Oh my goodness. What's up with us? And so, I don't know if we find a weird pleasure in running other people down, what it is about mankind, but, you know, Samson had his reasons, right? He had been rejected and he wanted his revenge. But sometimes when you look at the aftermath of revenge, and it's not so pretty. And that's where we have to trust the Lord to take care of it. This vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And brethren, this could be one of the hardest things in life, but I think you always find if you turn to the Lord and start praying for somebody, he might just change your heart and the situation may become completely different, at least in your heart. Well, as we move on in the book of Judges, we're going to turn the corner into chapter 16, the final chapter in, about the life of Samson. And it's going to be about the seduction of Samson, the famous scene with Samson and Delilah. And we're going to watch what happened to Samson as he played with fire. And there's so many good lessons to learn. I pray that you'll, if you've downloaded the app, the Walk in Truth app from your app store, share this with a friend. Tell them that you're listening. Let them know that this is really critical for all of us to learn from Samson's story. You're listening to Walk in Truth. Hey, if you're brand new to us, this is Pastor Michael Lance, and we have the privilege of airing this via podcast on many platforms and many radio stations really around the United States and many listening on podcasting around the world. We're humbled and blessed, but we want to do more. And the way that we can do more is with Walk in Truth partners. Now, if you go to our website or our app, you can donate there. And I bring it up not because I find joy in asking for you to support the ministry, but we have to pay the radio stations. Some of them are very costly. And we do it because we believe in the medium of radio. It reaches a lot of people. They say, the experts say about a third of our audience are unchurched or unsaved individuals. So that's really interesting to think about. So when you make an investment in Walk in Truth, truly, part of what you're doing is equipping the saints, of course, but part of what you're doing also is reaching out to unchurched and unsaved individuals. And that's really what we're here for, right? We're here to win the lost and equip the saved. That's really what Walk in Truth is all about. Hey, if you want to come alongside us and partner with us today, you've been praying about it, now it's time. Go to the Walk in Truth website, walkintruth.com. Click on that donate tab. You can do the same thing through the app. And one of the great things that you can do is set up monthly giving, $10, $20, $50 a month, whatever you can do, makes a huge difference for us to say yes to radio stations that have been asking us to come on, frankly, one family of stations for years now. And we can't quite pull the trigger because we got to make sure the funds are there. It's walkintruth.com, donate, or the Walk in Truth app, click on donate. And I want to say ahead of time to all of our partners, thank you for making this possible. We're in it together. And for those of you who are going to become new partners, I want to thank you ahead of time. It means a lot. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I don't make money doing radio. This is just an extension of the ministry that God has given us. And I pray that you'll partner with us today. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 16 called The Seduction of Samson.
But Samson doesn't seem to be that way. He doesn't think through his decisions. And I just want to give you a practical application. And this is something I think we learn as we go on in the Lord. I heard somebody once say, look, if you're gonna make a decision, you might want to stop. Let's just say that you're at the beginning of a road and you're going to make a decision. Look to the end of the road and ask yourself, if I do this, where will this take me? Because what happens is when you are tempted, sin wants you to have tunnel vision. Wisdom says, open up your vision. And if you do that thing, where will that take you? Where will that lead you? You have to look at the end of the road to be wise.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.